Boom, we are live, everybody.
Welcome back.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. What is this? Is it the ticket stub? Are we about to talk about movies? Is this Remy, Brian, and Tyler here again on what day? Saturday?
Saturdays. New day.
You know, as we're growing up, we're getting a little more.
S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Getting a little more mature, so we got to find times to do that. You know, we all got jobs now. We all got responsibilities. But guess what? Talking about movies is one of our responsibilities.
And
here we are today to talk about it. It is the month of October, the spookiest month by far of all months.
Yes.
Of course, followed second only by December.
Finals week.
Well, yeah. Finals week is in December, so there you go. That's just part of it. So, it's been a long time since we've been on the air, but we are here. We're in a new studio, nice and cushy, a lot of room. How was your guys' summer movie-wise?
Dry.
Movie-wise, yeah, really dry.
Yeah.
I mean, I just saw like pretty much the summer blockbusters.
I didn't even see the Avengers.
I saw.
Serious?
I didn't.
It's not worth it, man. It really isn't.
I liked it.
Marvel's going too cheesy. You liked it?
I liked it.
Wow, I hate you.
No, I did. I liked it.
I hate Ultron, dude. That was such a cheesy thing.
Oh, I loved him. I thought he was awesome. I thought Ultron was the coolest.
Ultron was cool, but like it was just. I didn't like the Vision.
Vision was my favorite character, actually.
I don't know.
He came in too late, though. I wish he was there earlier.
He's Jarvis.
He's so cool.
Yeah.
He just, the purple's my, I love purple, too. So just seeing him envisioned in like an actual on screen, like in outside of a comic was pretty sick.
I don't know if any of you guys saw Ant-Man, but I saw Ant-Man in IMAX. And they use, Paul Rudd kills it because he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a completely different spin on a Marvel film. And it's the best part is it's not like they're starting out back in the day where it's like the original Ant-Man. I forget his name. The original Ant-Man.
I don't know.
It's the new Ant-Man. He's a Paul Rudd's character is the new Ant-Man that the past Ant-Man is like mentoring down into, you know, like
so Michael Douglas is the old one.
Yeah, Michael Douglas is old Ant-Man. And it's really cool. And like they use this they use micro cameras to shoot like scenes. So like there's this one scene in a bathtub when he shrinks down, and they just like pretty much they have this micro camera and they film like the bathtub like filling water, and he just like they just edit him into it like CGI'd.
Oh, okay.
And it's perfect, dude. It's really cool.
Well, yeah, Marvel's got that reach in the budget.
Mm-hmm. Marvel's got everything in that budget. Yeah. Disney has everything in that budget.
Yeah,
such a monopoly
for sure. The mouse, he knows all. He has it.
Mm-hmm. He has Miramax, and that makes like half of the grittiest films ever. Everything by Tarantino.
Better from
Tyler,
right,
can
really.
You get closer to the mic or
get closer?
Move the mic closer?
Is this better?
Say something again.
Something again?
There you go.
Cool.
We good.
Sweet.
Trying to find this audio balance thing. I'm not an audio technician. I just pretend to be one, and here we are. So, in tradition of Halloween, October, Spooktober, one of the movies we're here to talk about today is for certain a horror movie. So, Tyler, you are the one that suggested it.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we watched?
All right. So the film is Children of the Corn. Pretty much this kid, like, pastor, like, moves in. His name's, what's his name?
Isaac.
Isaac's the kid pastor. Malachi's, like, his, like, right-hand man, mm-hmm. like, his general. But he moves in, and corn has been growing, so people, like, you know, invest all their time in praying to this he who walks behind the rose to try to get, like, you know, the corn to grow faster. And, you know, be more plentiful. And Isaac just gets, like, a huge grip on all the children of the town. And he decides to tell them to kill all the adults. So, like, 3 years go by. And all the adults are dead. And there's a bunch of, like, children. And they, like, these two people, like, just wander into this town after hitting this kid who tried to escape. And, you know, they're the first.
Recently murdered.
Who's recently murdered.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, not by them. But, like, you know. And they run into this, like, pack of wild children. In, like, this town. Kind of like the South Park episode.
Well, that's what the South Park episode is parodying.
Yeah, pretty much. But, like, and then some crazy stuff that goes down from there.
I think the important thing to note about this movie, when you're going into it, is this movie isn't really that scary.
No, it's just the concept of, like, children killing.
It's a bit unsettling. What messes with you. But, to be fair, I think we were in agreement that after years of the movie aging, it didn't age too well. I mean, it was a very low budget B A24 80s horror movies. You have to go into it with expectations that...
Definitely a classic, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Super classic.
That doesn't make it bad that it's not scary. It's like many movies of that era. They're good because they're gory and silly and more of an action movie than they are anything.
Right. Yeah, and, like, they definitely... Directors definitely try to get, like, a psychological, like, theme underneath in the story back in the 80s, but they didn't really have the technology or, like, the, you know, the ability to write to, like, fulfill it like we do now.
Like, there's man, the CG in this movie is low-tech, to say the least.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
I wonder how they did it. I feel like it looks like they almost, like, took the film and just colored it in with, like, a marker.
I think that's what they did, to be honest, because a lot of times back then you just draw on the film.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what it seemed like, to be honest. I mean, there's like, very few scenes that they really implement the CG. It's more toward the very end of the movie. But there was one scene in particular that they relied on it pretty heavy, and it's just the whole time you're just kind of, you have that stupid grin on your face, because you're like, this is clearly not...
You're
what
like,
they
what?
Expected or wanted it to look
like. You're like, what is this supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, but I didn't really mind it. I don't really care. One thing, me and Brian, we watched it together, and Tyler, you watched it alone.
Yeah. I'm the third wheel.
Yeah. One thing Brian and I were doing while we were watching it is we were trying to figure out all the actors, you know, where they are now, and especially those kids.
Particularly Malachi, because he is one of the funkiest looking children I've ever
Malachi.
Seen in my time.
Well, Malachi's played by a guy named Courtney. I was reading, like, a synopsis this Courtney morning, like, before I came here. Yeah, I don't know, like, is he a guy?
Yeah, we found out that he kind of grew into his face a bit, so that's good.
That's good.
But he,
what's
yeah,
his name?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look him up, see what this guy looks like.
It's Courtney Gaines.
He had some large teeth.
Yes.
Very.
Oh man, he's like normal looking now.
I know. It's
almost normal looking.
He's still pretty ugly.
Yeah. I guess that's a good way to put it. He is normal looking, but he's still not that attractive of a person.
Which played into his role, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. This whole thing takes place. I think one lesson to take away from this movie is anytime you're thinking about taking the back roads, just don't. Just
if you,
don't.
If
do
you
it.
Turn down a road and it turns into cornfields, leave. That's what I learned from this movie. Mm-hmm. Every movie I've watched, me and Kentucky have been doing like a watch a horror movie a day thing, and I think we missed 2 days now. But like we did it, we've done it every day for like since the month started.
But
so like we've been like getting on all these other topics, but I don't know. Every movie I watch makes me not want to go somewhere. This is how it is. Like Green Inferno, I never want to go to South America.
Yeah, we'll get there. I want to talk about Green Inferno because I'm on the fence as to whether or not I should see it.
I'm probably going to wait until it's out of theaters. I made that decision.
Dude, $5 movie night is totally worth it.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of movies I need to see.
Yeah, Sicario is like my number one right now.
I got to see about Sicario. I want to see The Martian.
I do too.
I want to see.
I'm the greatest botanist on this planet.
And 1 and 2 for me on Sicario and The Martian. The reason why Sicario is up on my list for right now is because I've been into Narcos, and it kind of plays right into it.
Ooh, yes.
So, but that's for another
yes.
time. We need to stick to the horror genre, I guess.
Especially Children of the Corn. There is one, out of everybody, there is one actress who does stand out. She does.
She's quite famous.
Yeah,
that, right?
She. You might know her as Sarah Connor.
From the original Terminator.
From the original Terminator, cool.
Yeah.
Who is she in that? Is she the...
She's Sarah Connor.
She actually is just running around as Sarah Connor just before Terminator comes to mess her up. Actually, no, she's the girlfriend of the... of you know, the one of the main two people.
Yeah. Are you talking about Children of Corn? She's the main lead actress, I guess.
That's what
she's
I thought.
Okay. The couple.
She looked familiar. I just didn't really know how.
Linda Hamilton, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Which was like, right when you see it, you kind of think, she looks like someone you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at her eyes, I'm like, that's so like distinct, I couldn't tell like what it was, to be honest, but like it was really something about her, I couldn't tell.
Definitely. Did a quick Google search, to be honest, right away, and it clicked as soon as I saw that she was in Terminator, so.
When did Children of the Corn come out? Was that 74?
Yeah,
was it like
84?
84?
Yeah, it's straight in that 80s. 80s cheese.
Low budget, low ball.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine what that
budget. To be honest, though, I mean, you talk about the 80s cheese. There were a lot of movies that came out in the 80s that I think held their own right without the cheesiness.
Neverending Story. Sorry.
Well, I mean, for me, the one that really sticks out the most, at least in the horror genre, is definitely the Halloween.
For sure.
That's definitely original Michael Myers is just one of the.
But, like, after the second one, it kind of just went downhill.
I mean, all the franchises really do, I think. None of them have really made 6 sequels, and all of them have been credible. So.
Yeah. Speaking of sequels, that's another thing we found out.
Brian, Children of the Corn has, like, 3 or 4 sequels, right?
Children of the Corn has 9.
9 sequels?
Yes.
There's I just Googled it on IMDb, and there's a TV series from 2009.
It's a movie. Well, the thing is there's a prequel, and then there's a sci-fi TV film, not including theater releases.
So it wasn't made by sci-fi?
So there was 8 altogether. But yeah, sci-fi was the one that made it recently.
So it's probably really bad.
It's atrocious, yeah, definitely. And then you want to bring up the one sequel that stuck out the most?
Oh, yeah, there is there's one sequel. It has to be the best of all the sequels. Why? Because I don't remember the exact name, but it's like Children of the Corn, The Awakening, Return of Malachi.
It was 666.
Yeah, 666. And they get the actual actor that played
Malachi.
He comes back to reprise his role, I guess. Yeah.
Speaking of the devil, I don't want to give away too many plot points right now, but he never returned in the end of the movie after he just kind of like hit that point of what just happened to him. You know what
I mean?
Like, he just kind of did that, and then the movie ended without him ever being addressed again.
He never, it never showed him dying or being.
It was strange.
He was still.
There's a lot of like, I don't know, it wrapped up, just kind of ended.
It's
like,
big time. Big time.
Yeah, it's like, it was just like, oh my God, here, done.
Yeah. And then they just kind
of. It's basically. Malachi. They basically came to their senses, and they were just like, oh, wait, we should leave.
Which
that is
absurd.
What we should do.
Oh, wait, if we just leave this town, we might get away from the, like, you know, homicidal children.
It never, timeline-wise, never really showed the timeline in which the kids started their cultish activities to when the people showed up. However, the gas station attendant did mention that 3 or 4 other people came through.
So yeah, that police officer on that corn cross too, the one cop that came in to investigate, they killed him and like his body was like hanging on it. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The blue man.
He was one of them. Yeah, but like to me, it's if these kids have been so cultish and they've just followed this for how long? I mean, obviously some of them were kind of detracting. You had the two main kids that were helping him out or whatever. But like you would think that having those ideals and the mentality so indebted for I would say probably a year or so, and then these two people come in, the guy makes one grandiose speech and all the kids are just like, you know what, he's right. Like they just went from super cultish to just complete like reasonable, sensible mentality and literally like one tiny speech that was given. But that was kind of funny.
But
I feel like Isaac looks like he's 40, but like
27. We were talking about that.
I was like, isn't he like 35 in this movie?
He's like a 45-year-old, 12-year-old.
Yeah. He's like Andy Milonakis.
Yeah.
Pretty
Except
much.
Opposite. Because Andy Milonakis looks like he's 2, and he's 45.
Yeah.
Actually, I just found out Halloween came out in 78, so that's not even a part of the 80s.
I think it was one of the movies that kind of sparked that genre.
The nightmare and Friday the 13th and all that stuff, I guess.
Yeah, my I would say of the 80s horror, my favorite goes to Nightmare on Elm Street. I do think that has a special place in my heart.
I agree. See, pretty good. It's up there.
80s horror, I don't even know. I really like Halloween.
Have you guys seen Poltergeist?
Yeah, that
I
freak.
I haven't.
New,
I haven't seen it for
one.
A long time.
I've never seen
They're
it.
Back.
I want. Did anyone hear how the new Poltergeist was?
Obviously horrible.
Well,
is it out right now?
When did it come out?
It came out over summer in July, I think. But like, I don't know. There's just something about the original Poltergeist that makes it even scarier because the main actress, the little girl, died from influenza during that shooting, and they said it's because like they used real human remains for like some of the things,
Are you
and
serious?
Like they were on like a fucking like burial ground or something. So
that's
like,
wild.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Something crazy. Thing. There's like a bunch of like legends about it. I'll look it up. Like, because there's like a bunch of people that die. There's something like about like a The exorcism too, where people got sick. I think like the guy who played the priest died too.
No, I know the girl had serious psychological issues after the filming because she just like couldn't take it. They were doing
crazy. When you mess around with stuff like that, I guess like stuff's gonna happen.
Yeah.
What would you guys say is your favorite Stephen King
adaptation?
Yeah.
Adaptation.
I wish they would do a really good adaptation of The Stand. I'm waiting for that.
They did do a show,
but they were talking about doing like an HBO or like Stars like miniseries where it's going to be like a 6 or 8 episode thing because it's a 1500 page book.
It's humongous. I haven't even been able to get through
it. Like my favorite Stephen King, I like Cujo a lot.
The movie. I talked about that last
time. I like Cujo. I like Cujo a good bit. Carrie's really good. What's the one with the car? Christine? That one's okay, but like every Stephen King movie is like pretty good. And now that we have like the new It movie is going to come out soon.
The original It.
The original It. The original It is silly, not in a good way.
Well, the new one, Pennywise, being played by the guy from Maze Runner, the redhead dude from We're the Millers. He's British. I forget his name.
That's neat.
They said he came in for the audition and they were like, there's no way this guy's getting the role, and they blew him away. They had to give it to him on the spot. That's how good he was. I'm excited to see what it's gonna be like.
Yeah, definitely.
I was gonna say my favorite one, or at least up there, is Pet Sematary.
Oh, I never saw that.
That's a great movie, actually.
You know what makes Pet Sematary so great? The guy, I forget his name, but he played Herman Munster on the main guy on the Munsters. Yeah. He has this weird voice, like, you ought not go up to the cemetery, all right?
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah,
the whole movie.
You just hit that on point.
at the end where, I don't want to spoil it, but he's like, I got something for you. It's just so perfect. It really sets the tone for that
movie.
What's
that movie with Matthew McConaughey? He was like the I Am Sam killer, the guy who like said his dog like told him to kill people. Like it was like this God, like God. It's a movie, and like at the end, like they're talking, and it's like he's like saying like his killer, like his brother's the killer, but it's actually him, and then he like kills the cop. Oh, I forget what it's called. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, you know what's a more recent Stephen King adaptation that I do like? If you haven't seen it,
Under the Dome.
You definitely should see it. No, not Under the Dome. Everyone hates that.
I haven't seen it.
I have not either, but I've heard it's not good. So I don't want to spread any rumors. You know, go see it for yourself. I heard the first season was actually pretty decent.
That's what I heard.
What are we talking about?
I hadn't heard anything from since then, so that's why I didn't know it tagged.
But I heard the second season really kind of went.
Oh, they had the guy who played the Thing, the guy from The Shield. What's his name?
Hank. From
Breaking Bad.
No, it's Michael Chiklis.
Is Michael Chiklis in that, or is it Hank that's in that?
I thought it was Hank from Breaking Bad.
Speaking of Hank from Breaking Bad, I feel so bad for him because all he does is play Hank from Breaking Bad.
Something like that. And he dies like all the time. Like, didn't he die in Under the Dome? Like, he hung himself or something?
Or did the rope break? Spoilers.
I don't know.
Well, I just really
I'm getting off topic.
Yes.
Your
adaptation that you like right now that you are recommending us to see. What is it?
It is it's with Johnny Depp. I forget the name of it now.
Is it recent?
It was made in the 2000s.
Is it The Secret Window?
Movie's crazy.
It's a good one.
That's
psychological.
Is that the one where like he's like in the cabin by himself, or is that okay?
He's a writer.
Yeah, he's a writer.
The plot twist at the end is pretty wild.
And like he talks to himself the whole time. Like that's a crazy movie, man. He's like,
that's a good one.
I watched it like when I was younger on like FX, they had the behind the scenes thing, and I watched behind the scenes on that like 8 times. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so cool.
It's one of those like idiosyncratic movies. Mm-hmm. Just kind of little minute details you got to pay attention to.
Especially when you watch it through again, it's you notice so many things.
Yeah.
And there's corn in that movie too.
There's corn. Yeah.
I think Stephen King is just all about corn.
I was talking to you about this last night. The cool thing about the Stephen King universe and why he's such a genius in a lot of people's minds is a lot of his books, they kind of revolve around the same multiverse kind of thing. So he has his own universe outside of ours where it's very similar, but there's a lot of unique things that wouldn't happen that kind of play into the horror genre, the psychological,
like in Tarantino
genre.
Movies, like how he has like red apple cigarettes and stuff.
Definitely. Like, but like the big thing about Stephen King is he takes it to a whole other level because I know you guys are familiar with The Shining. It's a great movie. We could definitely talk about that. That's probably one of my that's actually my favorite.
I have collector's edition on DVD if you guys want to watch it.
It's amazing. But as you know, Danny in The Shining has the whole point of the book and the movie is he shines. That's the idea of shining. It's he can kind of talk and see things and that whole parallel outside of the universe. If you watch a lot of the Stephen King adaptations, that is a reoccurring theme. People can do that. There's a lot of characters that have that ability. So like the abilities and the things that people do within the Stephen King universe, they all play within each other. And then the Dark Tower series mm-hmm. is the penultimate Stephen King book collection because it ties together a lot of characters, themes, plot points, and they all just kind of come together in this big multiverse sci-fi thriller adventure sort of thing that you see within the Dark Tower. So that's, I mean, the movies don't really play into that as much because they're kind of more sporadic and people don't make, not the same guy makes every one or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the books in and of themselves, they all, if you're going to read The Dark Tower, I recommend reading a good chunk of Stephen King novels prior to. You don't have to read all of them, but read the big ones, you know, The Stand, The Shining.
I heard The Cell's really good.
Cell, yeah. I read his vampire? Salem's Lot. Lot. It's a great book.
There was a movie about that too.
Mm-hmm. The Mist. Yeah, I'd like to watch that actually because I've heard it's not bad. It's okay. I mean, the book's really slow burner, so I can mm-hmm. imagine the movie.
There's also a new Rob Zombie film in the works called 31. We talked about this last year.
We did, yeah. I remember talking about that.
Me and Kentucky brought it up again when we were looking over horror films, like when we were going to see Green Inferno, and I like brought it up to him, and we were reading about it. There's still not a lot of new stuff on it. I really hope it comes out soon, but like it's in Murder World. And like this clown just like drags people in there and like they just like have to play games till they die. It sounds awesome.
Sounds pretty wild.
Tyler, you gotta get a little closer. Yeah, you gotta.
Am I good here?
You can't turn.
I can't turn at all. Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes because your levels are good for the most part, but then every once in a while you go quiet. I think it's just because you're not fully by the mic.
Yeah, I feel you.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep volume nice and consistent.
Completely understand.
It's the audio technic over here.
Yes.
I think a thing we could do, just crapshoot here. We started in the 80s and the 70s. Do you want to just kind of go through the ages of horror movies and how they've? We could just talk about our favorite ones from.
We got to talk about Psycho.
Oh, definitely. Like, we're still talking about Stephen. Hitchcock. We could talk about Hitchcock's masterpiece.
He definitely started it. One of the big first films to have a lot of nudity in it, too. Well, like one big nude scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he killed off the main actress within like the first 30 minutes.
It's a big middle finger to the FCC, honestly.
Before we get further off topic, I think we should put Children of the Corn to bed.
Yeah, we got to do the rating.
We got to give ourselves our true opinions, our seals of approval. I'm going to go ahead and go first. And I will say, you know, I saw it a long time ago. And to be honest, when I saw it back then, I didn't really like it. I kind of thought it was cheesy and cheap looking and not very scary. And I was like, boo, I don't want to see this movie's dumb. Most Stephen King movies are not good. Well, since then, I've changed my tune a little bit. It's not a perfect movie. It's not particularly well crafted or anything like that. But it's a movie. It's based on a short story. It's like 20 or 30 pages or something mm-hmm. like that. It's not long.
Mm-hmm. And
it is, it's made on a shoestring budget in the 80s, and it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable for that. Lots of nice 80s B-movie violence and all that. Nice cheesy dialogue. Weird-looking kids. It's something that you can
horrible
either
acting.
Oh yeah. It's something that you can either throw on in the background or just watch, you know, sit down. It's useful for a lot of things, and I'd say for that it earns a thumb up. A very solid one, and I think that's right. You know, before I die, I will watch this movie again. So, you know, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read the book, so it's kind of hard to make parallels. I'm with you. I'm definitely going to give it one solid thumb up. And the reason why is, to me, the acting and just the plot points, I think they might have detracted from the book. Just the stupid decisions that some of these characters make. It's that stereotypical, what are you doing, don't do that type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I noticed that reoccurring through the whole entire movie. And it's cheesy, it's fun, definitely something you can watch to kind of laugh at and discuss. If you're trying to get your horror chops in and really have it scare your pants off, I'd, I'd look for something else, but definitely a solid one thumb up.
See, to appreciate all the really good horror films, you have to watch the really bad, cheesy ones.
Yeah.
And, like, this one's perfect. You point out everything that's bad with it, mm-hmm. but, like, it's still a classic at the end. Like, it's a cult movie now. Like, it's great. So, like, I give it one thumb up, too. You know, I liked it. I liked it when I was younger. It scared the crap out of me because I live near cornfields. So, like,
ooh.
You know.
Ooh, yeah. Tyler gonna get, kill his parents.
Malachi, yeah, it's gonna happen, but no. But yeah, I give one thumb up. You know, it's nostalgic for me, so, you know, I have to appreciate it.
I just get the sense that Tyler, if anyone's father would have that on his radar, I feel like your dad would be like, oh, cornfields, maybe my son's going to kill me. I feel like he was all. I feel like he always had a contingency.
You guys haven't met Bill yet, but yeah, he's definitely thought that. He's definitely thought some weird stuff about me. So he's probably crossed his mind at least once.
All right, so that was Children of the Corn. Definitely a fun one to watch. And as always, gotta wash
our hands of that. Since Remy can't do it, I'll make the motions.
Oh, yeah. Washing my one hand.
Really carefully.
And that's gone.
I would like to bring up Green Inferno.
All right.
Well, that's okay.
Let's go through the ages. And I think that Green Inferno obviously came out last week. So I think we can.
Well,
we can
actually, I was looking on IMDb and it says it came out in 2013. So I don't know if it came out at a film festival and then just had no.
Oh, they always do that, though. I mean, all movies do that. We don't see them. There's no way we even come close to seeing them first, never mm-hmm. released. But
I think we can cover Green Inferno once we go through the top five.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely, it's on there.
You think it is?
Yeah, it is. I already looked.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to see that then. I mean, at least it shows people kind of respect Eli Roth a little bit.
There really isn't much either in the form of horror in the theater right now either. And I mean, it is October, so it's kind of. I think that movie kind of had its place to be within the top five just for the sheer fact that people were looking for horror in the theaters, but I definitely love Eli Roth. I don't think a lot of moviegoers really know of him unless you're kind of more of a hardcore.
Yeah, and, like, they don't really know. Fan. Yeah, like, Tarantino and him worked together a lot.
Oh, yeah,
He was in Glorious Bastards. He was a bear Jew.
Yep.
And he was also – he made Hostel 1 and 2, like, and he wrote them. Like,
he did.
I don't like the Hostel movies, though.
I don't either.
No one likes Hostel.
I don't like Cabin Fever, though.
Yeah, Cabin I do. I Cabin do Fever? Like Cabin yes. Fever.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, he directed Cabin. Yeah, he made it.
I do like children shouting the word pancakes. Is something I'm about.
Okay, so we hit the 80s. I think we should jump into the 90s. You know, we kind of hit some 80s movies that we liked.
What are
things
some
that were our favorites?
What are some classic 90s horror movies? I think 90s
Scream came out in the 90s.
I was just
it?
About to say that is the one that
outside of that
sticks out in my mind.
Outside
the most.
Of that movie though.
I'll Google it, see if I can find 90s horror films.
Yeah. Also, here's something you might not have known. Did you know that the Scream mask, it came out...
Witch Project was
ooh,
in the
90s. Yes. Ooh.
But I gotta continue anyway.
The Scream mask was not invented for the movie Scream. It did exist before. It was like a generic mask based on the painting, The Scream.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But it was not. I always thought that it was.
That's
just,
like with a Michael Myers mask too. That's Captain Kurt just bleached.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is not. Yeah.
You know what? I'm looking through lists here. It seems like the 90s were a bit of a dry spell for horror movies.
Yeah, I don't think
we could clump 90s and 2000s because there's a few 2000s movies that are sticking out in my mind right now.
Yeah, 90s doesn't have a lot. They have. Well, if we look through here, they have. Obviously, they got Scream, Blair Witch Project, Silence of the Lambs, It. Came out in the 90s.
I don't even consider Silence of the Lambs that much of a horror movie,
that's
though.
More a thriller.
Seven, that's a thriller too, though. Hellraiser 3 came out.
Speaking Ooh. Of Hellraiser, have you guys seen the original Hellraiser?
Yes.
Yes.
I have not. That's another movie I need to definitely, has been on my radar that I've been looking to watch.
Sleepy Hollow came out in the 1999.
We were just talking about Sleepy Hollow last night.
Yeah, that's on Netflix too, and Tim Johnny Burton, Depp's man. In that. Yeah, it's great. That's one of my favorite Tim Burton movies. Like, I'm really picky about Tim Burton movies, and like, that's one of my favorites. Jacob's Ladder came out in 1990. Who is in this? I know this movie. Tim Robbins is in it. Oh, Tim Robbins, something about a serial killer, I think. Yeah, he's Andy Dufresne.
Things with serial killers is just not, it's not horror to me.
See, but this is a different time then, though. This was, like, now we're so, like, desensitized to the serial killers and stuff. Yeah. But, like, back in the 90s, that was, like, a new thing. No one really did that.
I guess you could play it off as being more of a horror than a thriller. I think Scream obviously was all about serial killing, and that was more of a horror-based thriller, I guess. It had more of a horror aspect because it was...
I think it can be considered a horror movie.
Yeah, I guess.
Night of the Living Dead came out in 1990.
Oh yeah, zombie movies.
Zombie movies were trick.
They were awesome.
Night of the Living Dead came out in 1990. When was the original one?
Oh, find out.
Dawn of the Dead came out in the 80s, didn't it? Early.
I think it might have came out in the 70s.
I think you're also. You might be right on that too.
Yeah, Robert. What's his name? The guy who directed these? Robert
Romero.
Robert Romero.
Yeah, not Robert George, Romero. George Romero. Did you know the original?
1978 is when it came out.
The original Night of the Living Dead got put in the public domain on accident because they changed the title card at the last minute and they did not put the little trademark TM by the title or something, and boom, those guys never made any money off that movie.
You serious?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but at least, like, if it was never in the public domain, I don't know if it would have ever gotten as popular as it did.
Yeah.
We also have Evil Dead that we never talked about.
Ooh.
We didn't touch that. That movie carved out its own little niche of just absurdity, I think. I mean, it, to me, is not very scary in its own right. And I think the cool thing about it, Sam Raimi was kind of, he's talked about it before. He made it to be very scary, and he wanted it to be a very scary movie. But just the low budget that he had, because it was shot on, like, some of the lowest amount of money.
It was like $60,000 or something
wildly
like that.
Cheap. But the effects look great, and I mean,
for the time,
it's off the off
for
the
now
wall,
they still look good.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean,
they're like a classic.
Whenever they start getting the demonic thing, yeah, definitely. And it's funny how that movie spawned two sequels that just, like, he knew the first one was meant to be serious and it was meant to be a horror movie, but he realized that people took it as kind of like that odd, like, oddball comedy horror kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
like
then he just took it and just ran with it in the second two.
Yeah,
the second one got
Evil Dead,
crazy.
Evil Dead
Isn't
2.
The third one, don't they go like
back they go in back time? In time?
Yeah, like there's jousting and
I
stuff.
Love it.
Like what?
Evil Dead 2 is basically Evil Dead 1 when they just said, well, it's not scary at all. It's just gonna be a horror movie.
Ash wasn't even a main character.
It's just gonna be
the first one.
Yeah.
Ash was like kind of an afterthought to everything that was happening, and then the second one, he just became the central hero and the one who was gonna fight the Necronomicon and completely destroy the evil spirits. And
well, he
chainsaw arm. And all
yeah,
that
exactly.
Dude,
once he put the chainsaw arm on, it was go time.
One of the scenes that stick out to me the most of those movies is whenever a bunch of mini Ashes start fighting Big Ash in that shed. Do you remember that? I think that's in the second one. It's so wild.
Like, everything that happens in that movie is absolutely ridiculous. Like when all the animal heads, they start like vomiting and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then the skeleton army, like whenever they show the skeletons on screen, they're just like just
so
very
choppy.
Sporadic yeah. and choppy. Yeah.
Man. Then they did that remake in what was that, 2013 that remake came out?
I liked it. I mean, people have crapped all over it.
Yeah,
it just,
like,
I thought it was pretty cool.
I never saw it.
I just feel like, the people that don't like it because it's not new material. It's the same exact movie, just like with new. Like,
yeah, that, and it took what Sam Raimi did, and I think that the guy, he literally took it and just made it that serious and just super gory and hard to watch. And like, I think that's what Sam Raimi wanted to do with the first one, but he didn't have the budget and he didn't have the technology and he couldn't really do it. So then it spawned into that kind of goofball. But this guy kind of took what Sam Raimi wanted, I think, out of the first one and made it into that very serious and very gory and just very
doesn't a girl get, like,
hard to
by
watch
a tree in that?
That
scene?
Happens in the first
it
one and
the
second
one.
Yeah.
The second one, in the remake, it's a lot more like graphic though. Because I remember the first one, like, I was like, oh man, like, that's scary. But like the remake came and it was just, like,
yeah.
I don't know, it was hard to watch. Like, I feel like I like the remake.
The remake. The one scene that sticks out to me, I don't know if you guys remember it. She realizes her arm starts getting the demonic.
So she chops
it
off.
She takes a turkey, like what we use on Thanksgiving, to just cut a turkey and like gnaws through her entire arm with that. And they showed that thing like straight panoramic zoom on her arm being. It was, oh man, that movie has some whole another levels of gore. To be honest, it's something else.
Well, that's definitely what those movies are known for.
Yeah,
and you know, it spawned. You know, there's multiple video games that were made.
Yeah,
Evil Dead. Yeah, for like the I think there was one for the PS1, and then one for the original Xbox, one for the PS2. There were a couple. I don't think they were very good, but they do exist. So
now I want to bring up something that's like. like true horror. You guys know the bio of like and the documentary Room 237, right?
Yes. I actually wanted to talk about that.
The guy who directed that just came out with a new movie that's on Netflix. It's called Nightmare, and it's based off of a Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's about sleep paralysis and how the people with sleep paralysis actually live in a world like that. And it looks amazing. You guys have to watch the trailer. It's on Netflix now, and I want to watch it so bad.
I'm not gonna lie, that's something I'm not gonna watch because
sleep paralysis is scary. Have you ever experienced it? Like,
no, I have not. And that's the thing is, I've read about it a few times, and in my mind, every time I read about it, I keep thinking that because of the way the brain works, so I keep reading about it, it's just gonna happen. I keep thinking about it, it's gonna happen, so I'll never watch a documentary.
I have heard
it though; it's not bad. Like, if it happens, it happens. He's got to be in that right set of mind, man.
And that, but that's the thing. I know
it
won't be.
I think we should watch that for next, like our next show, because it looks incredible, and we're still gonna be in Halloween, so we might as well.
I want to talk about Room 237 for a minute.
Okay, I love that documentary.
I hate that documentary.
I liked how they went off about like all the different theories.
Do you remember?
We watched it in the suite for my freshman
year. Yeah. Do you remember when the guy's like, and if you look carefully, there's actually Stanley Kubrick's face airbrushed in the clouds. It's not there. It is not. I looked online. But it's not there.
That's what I love about it, because Kubrick was this like that kind of director to where he would do stuff like that and be like so like nonchalant about little things he put inside his film that everyone has an idea to like be able and like sit there and pick stuff out about it. So
it's
like it makes you like analyze the film so much more, and I love that. Like
it's
The Shining
30%
is
good. They get really close to coming to some interesting insight, and I think it does give some good information on like how Stanley Kubrick really thought. Mm-hmm. But then there's like a guy, he's like, now you're gonna have to watch my documentary to watch this. Dude, don't advertise your own documentary on this documentary. Get out of here.
Yeah, listen to my mixtape.
Get out of here.
That's what it was. The old
shout
days.
Shout out. Dude, listen to my mixtape. It's fire. My documentary's fire.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think Room 237, I'm pretty sure, had about the same runtime as The Shining, which is almost 2.5 to 3 hours, which is wild, because I don't know how you could stretch it that long. I think if they would have cut out some of the ridiculous theories and just kind of base it on the ones that have some credibility within the film, like the whole, I mean, obviously one of the biggest underlying themes of The Shining was the massacre of the Native Americans that had occurred back in the day, and then the hotel was built on that sacred ground, all that crap. Which is cool, and they pointed out a lot of minute details that kind of played into that whole thematic. So, like you said, I think 30% of the movie had credibility and was really awesome, the documentary, but then the other 70 just kind of lost me. Like, I got bored of it. I wasn't really paying attention. You pointed out that there's some, like, really ridiculous theory that just doesn't have any credibility.
There's that one part where they're like, if you play the movie backwards on top of the movie playing forwards, you'll find that there are some similarities, things happening at similar times, and
if you went in
and
depth
Jack
enough.
Nicholson will be on the same frame. That's because when you shoot a movie, you put the guy in the center of the shot.
Not, and that's like a completely like Kubrick thing to do. He always like, it's always like a 3/4 shot of the guy like centered. Mm-hmm. Like he did it in Clockwork Orange. It's done in 2001. It was in everything.
Clockwork Orange is on Netflix.
Yeah, I know it is. It's great. I'm looking up horror movies that are on Netflix that are new. And The Omen's on there. And me and my roommate Curtis watched The Omen a couple days ago. I love the original Omen. It was great. I loved watching
it. I
loved everything about it.
Okay.
I love that scene where like it's his birthday and they're outside. It's all for you, Damien. It's all for you. And his nanny just hangs herself like right outside the window.
Yeah.
That's the creepiest thing in the world. And like he can't go into the church, like he's just screaming his head off because like he's not like physically able to. It's crazy to think that this little like bundle of joy is the Antichrist. I love every part about that. It's, I don't know. It's something about like when you mess with kids and make them scary. This like, you know, kind of this like gets me with horror movies.
I think that's the scariest part about Children of the Corn. To be honest,
yeah, it really is.
The fact that all those kids. And then Jared was watching it with us, and he made a comment. He said, So which parents in the world are like just okay with their kids doing this and just hand their kids over to be able to just like be murdering human beings on screen?
Oh, you want to join a cult in the woods, honey? Okay, yeah, go ahead. It's fine. Go play in the corn.
Who was the person that was like, yes, my son is going to be Damien in The Omen. Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for my son to be a freaking horror.
You know that movie single-handedly ruined the name Damien?
Yeah, it did. It totally did.
Have you ever met someone named Damien?
No. I've met one person named Damien. He was really weird. He's a really weird guy. His parents probably did it on purpose. But Damien, like, I'm pretty sure the actual name does have some, like, some relative, like, something to the devil.
Some kind of
it does
satanic.
Mean something. Yeah, like so.
Okay.
And then I remember they had that that back in 2006 when it was June 6th, 2006,
yeah.
Where 666 happened. They're pretty sure they named their kid Damien, but his middle name was, like, Angel. Like, he was born, like, at, like, 6 p.m. on, like, June 6th in 2006. Like, I feel bad for that kid.
So, I'm always a big connoisseur of watching foreign film. I love foreign film. I think I've introduced you guys to a few movies that you definitely fell in love with.
I would say Brian is our authority on this show for that kind of a thing.
Love it. Okay, so there's one that's been on my radar. And I think this is one we seriously do need to watch.
I hope it's the same one I'm thinking of.
For all of October, I think we should do that, just kind of thing. Like, just, you know, for our next radio show, let's definitely stick on the horror.
Come over any night you want to. We watch a horror movie every night
in
my house. It's fine.
This is the one. This is the one that's been radar. It's been flying there for a while, and I need to watch it. There's a couple of them. No, I have not seen that, but
I haven't seen it
either. Korean. One of them is it's Takashi Miike is one of them. There's a couple other directors. It's a trifecta of film. One of them is The Audition. I don't know if you've heard of
I've
Audition.
Heard that. Is there an American remake of that? I think I've heard English remake.
Actually. But okay. The one that's really been on my radar, it's also Korean. It's A Tale of Two Sisters. I don't know if you guys have had any inkling into this movie, ever heard of it. Google it right now if you want on IMDb, just to get an idea of like what this film has to do with. It's from what I understand, it's pretty gory. It's kind of like unsettling. It's very eerie.
That's 7.3 on IMDb.
Yeah,
so it's
I don't
not
know
bad.
If it's like really like off the wall horror, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty unsettling. The issue that I have with horror and foreign films is it's kind of hard to really get the feeling of horror and uncomfortable whenever you're reading something the whole time. You know, you kind of have to keep up with the subtitles.
And it is based on kind of different cultural understandings of what is scary.
Definitely.
Which plays into it.
And that's why I like watching stuff like I love European horror movies because they're always so gory.
Yep.
And they're always like, I don't know what it is, but
Asian,
like,
in particular.
When I leave a horror film, I don't want to be like scared, like, oh man, there might be someone behind my door. I want to like be like physically, like mentally, okay. Like this screwed over.
Horror.
Like, I want to be able to, I want to think, like, man, like, anyone could, like when I saw Green Inferno after I left that, I was
just
like, oh my god, I was like anybody like could be like this savage and like everybody's just trying to do stuff for their own personal gain, and it was I don't know, it just made me feel really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I love every movie like that.
But yeah, I think A Tale of Two Sisters is definitely one we need to watch.
I'm down to watch that. There's a bunch on Netflix right now we can watch. Right here's the list, like House of the Devil's on there. Hellraiser.
House of the Devil looks really good, by the way. I don't know how into Guillermo del Toro you guys are.
I love him.
Before he became the Pacific Rim and the Hellboy that we know him as director, he was really indebted into horror. Coming up, he's actually going to be releasing, I don't know if you guys have seen Crimson Peak.
Yeah.
You've seen anything on that? I'm still unsold. It has that old kind of non-jump scary, just
it really feels like Sleepy Hollow to me. Like kind of like on a set. It looks like it's on a sound set.
Definitely.
I like that.
One of his movies that I also radared, foreign again, is The Devil's Backbone. It's pretty renowned as being one of the best horror movies ever made. It's in Spanish, so again, I don't know how the subtitles really play into the horror aspects, but I think that one should definitely, it's floating up there for us to
All right, now
watch.
That we're on like a topic of horror movies, what's the one that messed with you the most? Like when you were younger, now, anything? Like one horror movie that like, This gave you problems that you can like just not handle stuff for them.
Like, that's a good question.
Yeah, what's one like? What's yours, guys? Like mine's definitely a toss up between like The Strangers, like because The Strangers really messed with me. Like they just went to that house and they just came in and they're just like, hey, we're gonna kill you, and I was just like, oh my god, like I don't know what it is about that kind of stuff. Like ghosts don't get me. Like, you know, like I love like, you know, like haunting movies. Like The Conjuring was great. Like I love that kind of stuff, but like. That doesn't like mess with me like psychological stuff does.
It's the real life
like
stuff.
Like that mess with me. And if you guys ever watch Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, I freaking hate that movie.
Really?
It's scared. Like that one scene where like they're like watching, they're like recorded that, like him and his partner recorded that killing. Sorry, I moved away from the mic. And like they're sitting there and you're watching like them like kill the family and like they're.
What is this?
It's Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. You know Merle from Walking Dead?
Yeah.
He plays, he's the main character.
Okay.
But he like. you're sitting there, and like this camera starts zooming out. You think you're like watching them actually like kill people in the house, and this zooms out, and they're sitting on a couch, and they're like watching them record it. And have you guys ever seen Zodiac?
Yes.
You know the guy that they like accused of being the Zodiac killer? Yes. Like he's one of the people too. I think he's the other. He's Henry's like partner, but he gets up after the film's over and he's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I want to watch it again." And I was just like, man, that like messed with me so bad that someone like, I don't know what it was, that people actually get like enjoyment out of that kind of scared me. That's like the one movie that like this messed with me. And I watched that in high
school. Situational, I would say. It's not particularly a great movie. Back in high school, it was pretty early, probably ninth grade, we were in that cool phase of we need to do whatever we can to get our hands on and just be really, really awesome people, I guess. And we just started chugging energy drinks to stay up all night. So that kind of got my heart going, I guess, like because they're horrible for you. And we decided to put on House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, yeah.
That mixed with the anxiety that I was getting from my heart pounding from the
energy drinks. More caffeine back then than they do now.
Yes.
Yes, very much
I literally had to get up and leave the room because House of a Thousand Corpses is one of those movies that is just, it's so eerie. It's just like comfortable to watch.
It's just offbeat. Like the whole time. That's the one with the tall dude's in that, right? Where like, yes, the fire. Dude. Oh my God. Chris Hardwick's in that too. Chris Hardwick is the fat guy in there. He dies.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Chris Hardwick's in that movie.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
It's fat Chris Hardwick, though. Before he was cool.
Oh, my goodness. That movie, just the whole thing. And that mixed the energy drinks. I could not watch the rest of the movie. Like, I literally had to leave. I was sitting in the bathroom thinking that it was going to be the end of my life because I was just like, the anxiety from the movie and the energy drinks, all that stuff. It's not particularly the best movie in the world. Going back and watching it now, I know for a fact that it wouldn't get me as much as it did, but I think
still good, though. You probably would, watching it, get a little tinge.
Yeah, probably.
Just for, you know, the emotion of it, emotional flashback.
What's yours,
Remy? I'm curious to hear this one.
You know, I've been trying to think about it, and I don't really know. I'm trying to think of what I was really scared of, and it's been, you know, those memories are repressed. They definitely are not. They're pretty far back in my mind. I do remember back when they were doing a lot of those Japanese remakes,
like the grunge and the grudge and like the ring and stuff like that.
Yeah, but after that, when they did the movie about the call, when you get the phone call, I remember that ringtone.
Oh yeah, you die in a week afterwards.
Yeah, that ringtone. I definitely remember that causing me great.
They parodied that pretty hard in one of the scary movies.
Yeah, I think it was the third one they did it in.
I think so.
That's on Netflix now, too.
What was that movie called?
I don't remember. I know the poster. It's clear as day in my head. It had the two eyes that were mouths, and I don't know. But I do remember that just the idea of it did... It did scare me for a little bit.
Okay. Well,
but I feel like there's something more.
One missed call? Is that what it is?
One missed call, yes. Yes, it is.
We do have 10 minutes left, just FYI, so we probably should run through the top five.
Top five? I'm down to do that.
Also, I was wrong. The Green Inferno is not in the top five. It's actually number 13.
Oh, I think we should bring it up anyway.
Well, see, okay, Tyler, I'm going to give you my concerns about this movie, and you have to either confirm or deny these concerns.
All right.
See, I consider my time fairly valuable, and
the movie's only 100 minutes.
But I just really, at the point I am in my life, I don't like investing my movie watching time in something that is a decent amount of torture porn. I just don't. I'm over that.
It definitely is torture porn. It really is. Like in a sense. But, like, just the way Eli Roth does it is so, like, elegant and, like, different. And, like, he touches on the same topic. But, like, the way he writes is my favorite thing, dude. Like, he has the whole undertow of this movie. Like, there's a scene where they're talking about something. They're, like, these kids are, like, activists at their campus. And they're, like, going to South America to stop this, like, from them cutting down trees and killing, like, indigenous people. So, but, like, you find out later. I don't want to say this to you because I feel like it kind of ruins it.
Don't ruin it, man.
But, like, I don't know what it is. They're like, the whole undertow is like kind of like a Most Dangerous Game kind of thing, where like you could tell like people are savage, which is great.
Like, as long as there's like, is there, all I gotta ask is like, is there a decent chunk of the movie that is them like getting away, fighting back, stuff
they
like that?
They escape like three times, man, and like it's crazy. And the Green Inferno, at the beginning, they're talking about female body mutilation. You know that is like where they like you know like the like
we like, get it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say anything else. It's pretty bad. But they talk about that, and they're talking about fire ants that live in the Amazon and stuff. And the Green Inferno is like they take this green like this the green paste that like the ants love, and they smear it on people after they break all their bones, and they just let the ants crawl over them and eat them to death.
Oof.
That's how they die, and that's what the Green Inferno is. And that's why I thought it was cool that like it happens once in the movie, and it's the littlest part, and it gets the name from that. And I was like, oh my, and like they just hint at it like so subtly. It was perfect. And then I was like, why is it called the Green Inferno? And I was like, all right, like, you know, the people are painted red, like, you know, they're in the forest, that makes sense. But like, I feel like that like was like a big part of it, because that's the most painful way I think you could die.
That's definitely that's up there, Tyler.
It's horrible. It's like burning, like, I don't even know. But
anyway,
it does
seem like it plays into the torture porn aspect.
It was it does, it really does. But like, I don't know. I like I like Cannibal Holocaust too. Like, I like movies like that.
I don't like that movie.
They make me like so like, I don't know what it is, but I love it. I'm a different kind of horror movie goer though, I guess, than you guys.
Top 10. And we all go through phases where we like different things.
I'm in that phase now, this weird torture porn, I guess.
Number 10 is The Perfect Guy. I know nothing about this
move.
Movie.
Next one.
Number 9 is War Room.
What is that?
War Room.
There's a show called War Room, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? It looks like it's about basketball.
Oh, great.
So
it's like Draft Day, that NFL movie with Kevin Costner.
Interesting title for a basketball movie, but
number 8 is The Visit.
Sean and Kentucky saw that. And they said it was good. They said like he came back like pretty strong.
I did hear, but I did.
And had like a really nice twist at the end. Like,
some of the
like,
reviews and the critics said that M. Night kind of started to find his footing again, which is strange because I feel like his past 7 movies have just been atrocious.
There was one reviewer that I trust a decent amount who's reviewed a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies in the past. He made me really sad because he said, quote, "This was the first M. Night Shyamalan movie that I both thought was not a good movie and also didn't think was funny because it was bad." He said it was just bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I feel like if you like a lot of other M. Night Shyamalan movies,
which I don't know how you can,
then like you just like you don't have
M. Night
a say.
Shyamalan movies. You like 2 of them.
It's obviously Sixth, and then
I don't like Sixth Sense. I like Signs, and I like The Village. I don't like
The
Sixth
Sense.
The Village is pretty bad.
I like The Village. I like that it's bad. That's my favorite part about it. Like,
it's the one that's Sixth Sense, and the one about that guy that can like see if people do crimes or something like that. I forget what it's called.
I don't know. I'm not even sure what movie that is.
A lot of people like it. But anyway.
The Happening was bad too. Like,
oh, The Happening.
The trees did it. The
and
trees
had
did
Mark
all of
Wahlberg
it.
Be a science teacher.
Yeah, he totally teaches science. Can you imagine walking into class and Mark Wahlberg's there? Hey, we're gonna learn some science today. I couldn't imagine.
Hold on,
that
let me bring in my funky bunch, and we're gonna sing this science song for you.
There's my brother's even, coming in too. You know, he has to have a TV show now. New Kids on the Block's here.
There's even
man.
There's even an interview of Mark Wahlberg being like, you know, I didn't do good in science, so when I had to do that role, it was, you know, I didn't have a lot to draw on. So it's like, good setup.
I was kind of just winging it. That was definitely just a name placement for casting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Next up.
Number 7 is Everest.
Not interested.
Yeah, I think.
However, it's getting okay reviews. It's in the 70s, high 70s, so I mean, I'll watch it eventually. Probably.
Everest, I'm thinking of a movie called
Jacob's
North
Face. Jacob's in it. Good old Jacob.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, he is. That's surprising to me, but continue.
Jake Gyllenhaal's been in so many movies.
I know.
And a lot of them are bad.
Superstar.
Number 6 is Black Mass.
I heard it was incredible.
Super, super excited. That's also, I forgot, up on my need-to-see list for sure.
Yeah,
it is for me, too.
That's on there.
I know people that saw it. They said it was great.
I was very intrigued by Whitey Bulger prior to the idea of this movie even being made, so I'd like to see him embodied
and
by
that
the good
trailer,
old Johnny.
I don't know if you guys saw the original trailer where it's just like him asking that guy, like, what's in the chicken? He's like, oh, I can't tell you a secret recipe. And then he tells him, he goes,
oh yeah, like, well, you know, if you would tell your, like, us your mom's like secret recipe, what else have you told people? And I was just like, man, that's some crazy stuff. Like,
yeah, definitely the way on he my thinks. Radar.
Yeah.
Number 5, Maze Runner: The Scorched Tribe.
See, I heard I never saw the first one, and it's on Netflix now, and I heard the second one's great.
I need to watch that. I think it's on Netflix.
Maze Runner makes me happy. I think
if it's not on Netflix, I got this account from my friend at work that has like every movie ever on it. Sweet. So we'll have some good stuff.
It's not pirating, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not pirating. No, it's completely legal.
It's Maze Runner. I feel good about it. You know, giving the kids something to watch that's not. You know, it's about overcoming adversity and stuff like that.
Definitely is, yeah. And it was a great book too, because like all my teachers in high school recommended to read it. I never did, but like, you know, I was into different stuff. But that was definitely a good read. I heard.
Next.
Number 4 is The Intern.
Not interested.
I don't. What even is that movie about?
That is Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I see the picture. I remember.
They're both so good. Anne Hathaway won an Oscar, and now they're just like.
Has anyone seen an interview of Robert De Niro on like any talk show or anything ever?
No.
He is the worst interviewer ever.
I feel like he just doesn't care anymore.
He's just like,
he's Robert De Niro. He doesn't have to care.
He trails off. And then starts talking about like awkward things, and just like everyone turns into like, and that's how my friend's wife died. And then it's like,
this sums it up. So gets super dark. Oh man,
it's pretty wild.
Number 3 is I believe what you were talking about earlier, Sicario.
Yes. Sicario is actually Hitman. It's the terminology. And it's the hitman for the Colombian drug lords. So
that
gives
cool.
you any indication as to what the movie will be
so
about.
So like, there's a Sicario going after Donald Trump now, right?
Probably. Much. But
El Chapo got that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Benicio del Toro's in it. And I'm pretty sure he's an FBI actor. Agent. I'm pretty sure. And then who's the lady in there?
I don't know.
She's big. But go ahead, next.
Number 2 is Hotel Transylvania 2. I heard the first one was actually pretty good. Yeah, silence that for the last minute of the show. I heard it was actually, I never saw it. I kind of want to see it. I heard it was one of the only things that Adam Sandler has done in the last like 5 years that seems like he really is interested in it.
One word, pixels.
Did you see it?
It looks so dumb.
Yeah, definitely.
The video game world
is
weird.
And it's based on an episode of Futurama.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Rips off an episode of
and
Futurama.
And, like, I mean, Peter Dinklage is in it, though.
Yeah, well.
Doesn't matter.
You can't say anything.
You just can't, like, it's so hard to just say that, oh, this dude's in it, it's going to be great.
Oh, no, I just,
how many
I just
horrible
like,
movies has Robert De Niro been in? Plenty. So it's like.
Meet the Falkers. Yeah.
And the Family.
Yeah, yeah.
I did like Meet the Falkers, though.
I did, too. Jinxie Cat.
And.
Number 1.
Of course, number 1. Bringing in 2 p.m. for the movies you should see this weekend and soon. Of course, The Martian, number 1.
It looks incredible. I heard the book was great,
it
too.
Does,
so
yeah.
like,
I'd like to read the book.
And, like, Matt Damon, I like how all these, like, bigger actors from when we were younger are starting to get more sci-fi now. Because this is, like, the second or third, like, sci-fi movie Matt Damon's done in the last couple years.
Sci-fi's finally reached the area of technology that it
can
actually
Star Wars,
work
man.
In. You know what I mean?
I mean, wasn't Matt Damon? He was in Interstellar too. They had to save him,
yeah,
right?
He was not named. He had a big part, but he wasn't named in it.
Yeah. As well, it's because Christopher Nolan. He likes to keep everything secret.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was great. I still haven't seen Interstellar yet. But
that
like,
was one of my favorite parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. When you see That's him, good. He's just so like you can tell. It's like, oh man, he's acting like he's cool, but he's not cool.
I'm going to have to see it very soon.
Honestly, you're going to walk away from it with I think anyone that walks away from that movie is going to have a completely different idea about it because it's just one of those, like, Christopher Nolan reach movies, and I enjoyed it.
I like that he does that. Like, now that he's big.
Freaking gorgeous.
And, like, all this stuff, like, he can shoot anything the way he wants to, and, like,
which
he can
good
just,
and
like.
Bad.
Yeah, I mean, it is good and bad, but he can experiment now, and I like the way he experiments.
Yeah, Interstellar's good, though. It's solid.
It is definitely, yeah, it's a reach movie, and some of the things he reaches. It's great. He nails it. There's some crazy, mind-blowing parts where you're like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all kind of rooted in science. And it's like when you think that some of this stuff that they're talking about actually could happen is dope.
Well, it's great now with the Martian coming out because they're talking about, like, you know, cultivating Mars and all this now. And, like, sending, like, a like, I read something online that, like, we could send people to Mars, but they wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
Like, it could be, like, a group of 30-year-olds that are, like, down to, like, be like, hey, I'm going to go see a red sky for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if I had the chance, maybe, you know, but, like, that'd be kind of cool. And it's, like, the fact that we could actually get really close to doing that, which makes it better.
Oh, yeah.
So Elon Musk is pushing for SpaceX. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is our time. It's 2:02. If you have been listening, we thank you for listening in. If you're listening in on the podcast version, that's
technology.
You know, that's also great. Any way you listen, we appreciate it. We're going to be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to be reviewing some more movies. Still going to be Spooktober. Going to be nice and scary for you. And... you know, stay tuned for all that. Until then, this is the Ticket Stub. My name is Remy.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Tyler.
Thank you all for listening. Have a great day, everybody.